her mind, she couldn't remember where she lived. How did she earn her living? Was she married? Did she have any children? Where had she been born? Where had she gone to school? What foods did she like? What was her favorite kind of music? She could find no answers to either important or trivial questions. Amnesia. Brain damage. Fear quickened her heartbeat. Then, mercifully, she remembered that she had been on vacation in Oregon. She didn't know where she had come from. She didn't know what job she would return to once her vacation came to an end. But at least she knew where she was. Somewhere in Oregon. The last thing she could recall was a beautiful mountain highway. An image of that landscape came to her in vivid detail. She had been driving through a pine forest, not far from the sea, listening to the radio, enjoying a clear blue morning. She drove through a sleepy village of stone and clapboard houses, then passed a couple of slow-moving logging trucks, then had the road all to herself for a few miles, and then, nothing. After that, she had awakened, confused and blurry-eyed, in the hospital.
"Well, well, hello there."
Susan turned her head, searching for the person who had spoken. Her eyes slipped out of focus again, and a new dull pain pulsed at the base of her skull.
"How are you feeling? You do look pale, but after what you've been through, that's certainly to be expected, isn't it? Of course it is. Of course."
The voice belonged to a nurse who was approaching the bed from the direction of the open door. She was a pleasantly plump, gray-haired woman with warm brown eyes and a wide smile. She wore a pair of white-framed glasses on a beaded chain around her neck. At the moment, the glasses hung unused on her matronly bosom. Susan tried to speak, couldn't. Even the meager effort of straining for words made her so light-headed that she thought she might pass out. Her extreme weakness scared her. The nurse reached the bed and smiled reassuringly.
"I knew you'd come out of it, honey. I just knew it. Some people around here weren't so sure as I was. But I knew you had moxie."
She pushed the call button on the headboard of the bed. Susan tried to speak again, and this time she managed to make a sound, though it was only a low and meaningless gurgle in the back of her throat. Suddenly she wondered if she would ever speak again. Perhaps she would be condemned to making grunting, gibbering animal noises for the rest of her life. Sometimes brain damage resulted in a loss of speech, didn't it? Didn't it? A drum was booming loudly and relentlessly in her head. She seemed to be turning on a carousel, faster and faster, and she wished she could put a stop to the room's nauseating movement. The nurse must have seen the panic in Susan's eyes, for she said,
"Easy now. Easy, kid. Everything'll be all right."
She checked the IV drip, then lifted Susan's right wrist to time her pulse. "My God," Susan thought, "if I can't speak, maybe I can't walk either." She tried to move her legs under the sheets. She didn't seem to have any feeling in them. They were even more numb and leaden than her arms. The nurse let go of her wrist, but Susan clutched at the sleeve of the woman's white uniform and tried desperately to speak.
"Take your time,"
the nurse said gently. But Susan knew she didn't have much time. She was teetering on the edge of unconsciousness again. The pounding pain in her head was accompanied by a steadily encroaching ring of darkness that spread inward from the edges of her vision. A doctor in a white lab coat entered the room, apparently in answer to the call button that the nurse had pushed. He was a husky, dour-faced man, about 50, with thick black hair combed straight back from his deeply lined face. Susan looked beseechingly at him as he approached the bed, and she said, "Are my legs paralyzed?" For an instant she thought she had actually spoken those words aloud, but then she realized she still hadn't regained her voice. Before she could try again, the rapidly expanding darkness reduced her vision to a small spot, a mere dot, then a pinpoint. Darkness. She dreamed. It was a bad dream, very bad, a nightmare. For at least the 200th time, she dreamed that she was in the House of Thunder again, lying in a pool of warm blood. 2. When Susan woke again, her headache